Romans 8, we'll read verses 1 through 28. And our text will be verses 26 and 27. As we read this passage, you'll notice how often the Holy Spirit is mentioned in Romans chapter 8. So let's take note of that too as we read Romans 8, 1 through 28. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. For likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. As far we read the word of God, and I'll read again our text, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. As you know, beloved, today is the day we recognize as Pentecost Sunday. 50 days after Christ's resurrection from the dead, and 10 days after Christ's ascension into heaven. And on this day, we acknowledge as the church the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that was given to, the Spirit that was poured out upon the church. Ordinarily, the Holy Spirit does not get that much attention in a Reformed church, at least not compared to how much attention is given to the Spirit in churches that are charismatic and Pentecostal. And that's proper. That's proper because the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, mentioned as such even in Romans 8, verse 9. The Spirit of Christ. And so the Pentecostals have it all wrong. With all their focus upon and all their emphasis on the Holy Spirit and the supposed evidences of the Spirit and the supposed ways in which the Spirit is present in the church and in believers, they have it all wrong. They have it all wrong because the Spirit who is poured out upon the church does not bring attention to himself. But the Spirit, as Christ said when he promised the Spirit, is the Spirit who brings attention to and directs our attention always to Christ. Notice that in John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And then notice this, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. But even though that is true, we certainly do not and may not ignore the Spirit. And therefore, it is good that we give attention to the Spirit today and that we give attention to the Holy Spirit in a correct and a biblical way from the Word of God and through the words of our text. We do that because the pouring out of the Spirit was a great event in the history of the church. We do that because the Spirit was a great gift that God gave to his church. And we do that because we are blessed in countless ways through the Holy Spirit of Christ. And what's surprising, perhaps, is that many of the ways in which we are blessed by the Spirit are mentioned in Romans chapter 8. Notice that as we read through this chapter, because of the Spirit dwelling in us, we have been made free from sin and death. Because of the Spirit in us, we are not carnal and earthly minded, but rather we are now spiritually minded creatures. Because of the Spirit in us, we know that we are the sons and daughters of God. And we call God Father because of and through the work of the Spirit. Because of the Spirit of God and Christ in us, we know ourselves to be the heirs of life eternal. And through the Spirit in us, we have hope. We are certain and sure about what is coming for us in the eternal glories of heaven, and we even have groanings for that urgent longing for the end and for the return of Christ. And then also this in our text, because of the Spirit, there is a blessing to us with regard to our prayer life. Something we perhaps don't often think about with regard to the Spirit and His work, but nevertheless a crucial work of the Spirit, because prayer is a crucial part of the life of the child of God. Prayer is needed for our spiritual survival, and therefore we need this work of the Spirit. And we need this work of the Spirit as spelled out in the words of our text, and as we will see also and especially in light of the difficulties and weaknesses that we have in praying to God. In light of that, then, let's consider this word of God under the theme, the Spirit's intercession for us. And notice what He does, why He needs to do it, and finally, how this comforts or profits us. Prayer, beloved, is a gift from God. And prayer is intended for us as the people of God to use often, to use daily, to use constantly. And I say that, beloved, from the outset, because we must not think that what our text tells us about the Spirit takes away from us the necessity to pray. The fact that the text mentions that the Spirit intercedes for us, that the Spirit prays for us, does not negate the fact that we must pray as the people of God, and that we do pray as the people of God. Even the text itself shows that. Yes, the Spirit intercedes for us, but He intercedes for us in connection with the fact that we do not know what to pray for as we ought. We are praying, but we don't know what to pray for as we ought. The child of God prays. Yes, imperfectly. But the people of God are a praying people. We pray as church, we pray as families, we pray as individuals. We realize as the people of God that we need to pray, and we need to pray because we are dependent upon God. We cannot live a moment without our God, and without that sweet fellowship and communion that we have with Him. Prayer is our spiritual lifeline to God. And we need to pray because prayer is the chief part of thankfulness. If the child of God is thankful, he prays. If the child of God does not pray, he is not being thankful. If the child of God is thankful, he prays often. In fact, he even prays, as 1 Thessalonians 4 points out, without ceasing. Without ceasing. Yes, we pray. But the text states that in addition to that, in addition to our praying and our prayers, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. The Holy Spirit prays for us as well. Now, it's important to understand what this intercession by the Spirit is. This intercession by the Spirit of which our text speaks is different from the Spirit being the one who equips or who enables us to pray. The Spirit does that too. And the Spirit needs to do that because on our own we don't want to pray. And he needs to do that because on our own we do not admit and we will not admit that we need God and we need to pray to God. And on our own, we cannot pray properly to God. Our prayers are weak. We pray for the wrong things. Our prayers are characterized by self-centeredness. We fail to be thankful in our prayers. And so the Spirit does a work to equip and enable the child of God to pray to God. He gives us the desire to pray. He gives us, even as that is indicated in this chapter, Romans 8, verse 15 and following, he gives us the courage to pray. The courage to say, as sinners, our Father in heaven. Confident that God is our Father. And confident through the Spirit that we can call Him Father. And pray to Him knowing that He is a Father who loves us and who is interested in every word of our prayers. He gives us the ability. And he also gives us the words to speak. He puts the thoughts in our hearts and he puts the words in our mouths that make our prayers pleasing and acceptable to God, so that what Psalm 19 verse 14 says is true of our prayers, that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts are acceptable to God. That's all a very important and a very necessary work of the Spirit in our prayer life. But that's not what the text is referring to. The text rather is telling us that the Spirit Himself prays directly to God for us. We're not speaking here about the Spirit praying through us, but now we're speaking about, and the text is speaking about, the Spirit praying for us. He intercedes And that's what someone who intercedes does. He prays for someone else. He speaks on someone else's behalf. That's what a father does in family prayers. That's what a pastor does in congregational prayers. That's what elders do when they are called upon to visit the sick and to pray for them, according to James. That's what believers do when they pray for each other. They intercede. And that's what the Spirit does. He makes intercession. He makes intercession for us. The Spirit is praying directly to God in heaven on your behalf and my behalf as a child of God. He is praying to God in our stead. In addition to our prayers ascending up to the throne of grace, the prayers of the Spirit ascend to God's throne of grace. He brings prayers to God for us that we are not even conscious or aware of. And he does that with groanings, the text says, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Words that come from the Spirit, that ascend up to God in heaven, that cannot be put in human language, and that are beyond human understanding. Strong and urgent cries from the Spirit to God, calling out to God for you and for me. The Spirit intercedes for us. We must also understand that this intercession of the Spirit is closely related to Christ's intercession. If you read further in the book of Romans 8, you'll notice in verse 34 that mention is also made of Christ interceding for us. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Christ sits at God's right hand, and he is praying for you and me as well. He is bringing all of our needs to his heavenly Father. He is our sympathetic high priest. He knows exactly what we need, and he knows what we need as one, according to Hebrews chapter 4, who has experienced our needs in earthly life, who suffered in all points just as we suffer. He knows what we need, and he intercedes for us too. And the Spirit's prayers are not separated from Christ's prayers for us. And that's because the Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. He is the Spirit sent by Christ. He is the Spirit that comes from Christ. He is the Spirit that brings us Christ. He is the Spirit that when he dwells in us, Christ dwells in us. He is the Spirit of Christ. And because he is in us, Christ is in us, and therefore the prayers that he brings are prayers as the Spirit of Christ. He doesn't pray for different things from Christ, things that are contrary to what Christ prays, but the same things. Perfect harmony between the prayers of Christ as our intercessor and the prayers of the Spirit as our intercessor. And yet there is something special. There is something unique about the intercession of the Spirit. And that is this: Christ is personally in heaven. Christ is sitting at the right hand of God in heaven. And therefore, Christ is praying for us from heaven. The Spirit, however, is praying for us from earth. Not from far, but from within the child of God, where the Spirit lives. And from there, dwelling within you, the Spirit is very much a part of your life as a child of God. And the Spirit has an intimate knowledge of your life and an intimate knowledge of your needs in earthly life. The Spirit has a very personal knowledge of you. He is directly aware of your struggles, directly aware of your falls in life, directly aware of your burdens and cares in life, and fully aware of all the temptations and sins in your life. And it is from that perspective and with that knowledge that the Spirit intercedes for us to our Father in heaven. That's part of the blessed gift and work of the Holy Spirit. He is praying for you. He is praying for you with groanings which cannot be uttered. He is praying for you whenever you pray, but also when you're not praying. Constant intercession to the Father for you. The blessed work of the Spirit. And He needs to do that for us. And He needs to do that for us because, as verse 26 points out, He helps our infirmities, and this is our infirmity: we know not what we should pray for as we ought. The text mentions that we have infirmities in our prayers, or with regard to our prayers. That is, we have weaknesses with regard to prayer. And none of us would disagree with that. It's no surprise to the child of God. It's no surprise to me that I need the Spirit to help with regard to my prayer life. Many infirmities. The infirmity that we don't pray very often. The infirmity that we're not sincere in our prayers. The infirmity that we're often self-centered in our prayers, all about me, 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 what I want, and so on. But the text says that we also, or you could perhaps say especially, have this infirmity in prayer. We do not know what to pray for as we ought. And because of that infirmity, our prayers are often inadequate. Because of that infirmity, we need the Spirit to pray for us. We do not know what to pray for as we ought. That means, first of all, that when we pray, we do not pray for the right things. We ought to know what we should pray for. The Word of God teaches us what we should pray for. We don't always do that. It's striking when you consider the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer that Christ gave us to teach us how to pray and what to pray for. It's striking that out of the 6 petitions that are given in the Lord's Prayer, 5 of them are petitions for spiritual things, and only 1 for earthly things. Namely, give us this day our daily bread. How often, beloved, do you pray for things spiritual, things heavenly, things eternal? How often do you pray for what Christ said we ought to pray for also in Luke 11, verse 13, speaking about God's willingness to give us what we pray for? Christ did not say, and therefore you can ask for anything you want and be confident that God will give you what you ask for. But he said, when you pray for grace and the Holy Spirit, then you can be confident that God will answer and give. How often, beloved, do we pray for even what is mentioned in the context here? That we, verse 23, are groaning. We who have the first fruits of the Spirit in us are groaning for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. How often do we pray for our final resurrection from the dead? How often do we pray for the return of Christ? Those are the things we ought to pray for. And we know that we need those things. But how often do we verbalize them in our prayers to God? We earthly and sinful creatures often fail to have that spiritual and heavenly emphasis and perspective in our prayers. And taking the earthly viewpoint, we express in our prayers all kinds of earthly desires. We think of things from this perspective often when we approach prayer to God. What's going to be best for my life here on earth? Not what will be best for my soul, but what will be best for my earthly life. And then we are convinced and become convinced that we especially need earthly things from God. And that occupies much of our prayers to God. And the spiritual things often occupy simply second place, an afterthought, a small part only of our prayers. So the Spirit needs to pray for us. And he does that, as the text points out. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's the key. Because when we do not know what to pray for as we ought, and we do not pray as we ought to pray, that means that we are not praying according to the will of God. Now, sometimes that's because we don't know the will of God. And that's why it's a blessed wonder that God gives us the Spirit to pray for us, because the Spirit has perfect knowledge of the will of God. And so we experience sickness or suffering, and we pray to God, Lord, deliver me now from this trouble in my life. The sooner the better, Lord, so that I can fulfill my calling and my responsibilities in life. The sooner the better, Lord, because this is too much for me. The reality may be that that's exactly what we need to experience for a while. And the Spirit knows that, because the Spirit knows the will of God. And so he prays according to the will of God. And his prayer may very well be, God in heaven, do not remove these things. These things are necessary for this believer. This suffering is part of thy will for this child. And this is part of thy will in order to sanctify, in order to purify as gold, in order to draw this child closer to thee and more fully in dependence upon thee, and in order to prepare this one of thy children for his unique place in glory and in the body of Christ. I know that is thy will, God, the Spirit says. And so the Spirit's prayer is, let the suffering continue. Let it remain a while. It is necessary, and it is good. Or perhaps we struggle with loneliness, or you struggle with living the single life, or you struggle with childlessness in your marriage, or you struggle with poverty and debt, and you pray, Father, provide a friend. Father, give me a spouse. Father, give us children. Father, give me a better income. But the reality may be, again, that these things are not good for us spiritually. The Spirit knows that, because he knows the will of God. And he prays according to that will of God, and once again says to God, Lord, God, Father, continue, Father of thy children, continue to send these circumstances and struggles to these children for their good. And as part of my work of as the Spirit who lives in them to sanctify them, as part of and as necessary for my work as the Spirit who lives in them to purify them and to prepare them uniquely to be that special part of the body of Christ in glory forever and forever. We need the Spirit's intercession. We need the Spirit's intercession so that prayers come to God that are according to the will of God. We need the Spirit's intercession so that we receive from God not what we want, not what we, from our earthly and selfish perspective, often think we need, but what God has willed for our good. So the Spirit prays for us. Prays for us because we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But there's also a second reason why we need the Spirit to pray for us. Another struggle that we often have with prayer. When the text says we know not what we should pray for as we ought, that can also refer to the fact that sometimes when we pray, we don't know what to say. We don't know what words to speak to God. We desire that our prayers be pleasing to Him. Our desire is that our prayers are in agreement with the will of God. We desire that we pray in faith and that our prayers be sincere prayers to God, but we bow our heads and we don't know where to start. We don't know where to start. What words will I, a creature of dust, say to the Most High and Holy God in heaven? What can I say to God that will be right and that will be pleasing to God? That can happen any time. That can happen with any prayer that we pray to God. And perhaps it sometimes happens, especially when the child of God is overburdened with the afflictions and sorrows of earthly life, and God's heavy hand touches you. And you know that He is the one that sends the troubles. And that produces a struggle of faith and a questioning of God and of the will of God. And you know that. And you come to God to pray, and you don't know what to say to Him. Where to start. What to bring to Him in your prayer. Afraid, perhaps, even of saying the wrong thing to God. As David expressed in Psalm 39 when he said, I was silent. I didn't say a word because I knew God did this to me. And it can also happen when we sin, especially if we are guilty of repeated sin against God, and we know we have offended God again. Then we hardly dare speak to Him. And often, when caught up in sin, we simply don't pray. Long gaps of no prayers, because I know that if I'm going to pray to God, I have to humble myself before Him. I have to confess my sin to Him, and I have to break with that sin. We don't know what to say. That too is when the Spirit helps our infirmities in prayer. As As one who lives within us and who is fully acquainted with our struggles, he knows the exact words that need to be uttered to God, and he prays them for us when we don't know what to say. What a blessing to have the Spirit help us with our infirmities in prayer. And therein, beloved, is great comfort and profit for us. There is someone that is praying for you all the time. The text expresses that this is constant. He makes intercession, not just once in a while, but all the time. That someone who is praying for you is someone who dwells and lives within us. He's living within us and with us every day. He's very much a part of our lives on this earth. He understands our struggles. He understands our needs. And he tells God the things that we need when we fail to see that we need them. And he tells God the things that we need when we fail to pray for those things ourselves. The Spirit is praying. And often it will happen that two different prayers arise to God. The one that we pray, and the one that the Spirit prays. And sometimes the one that we pray would be harmful for us in light of eternity, because that prayer is often the earthly-minded prayer, the selfish prayer, the prayer that is not according to the will of God. But the other prayer, the prayer of the Spirit, is for our good. The prayer of the Spirit is a perfect prayer. A prayer for what we really need. A prayer for what we need for our souls. A prayer for what we need in light of eternity. A prayer that is according to the will of God for us. The Spirit knows things that we do not know. The Spirit sees things that we cannot see. The Spirit knows God's perfect plan for your salvation, as that is salvation earned by Christ and applied and worked in your hearts and lives by the Spirit Himself. And he prays in complete agreement with that will of God. And when it comes to those two different prayers, you can be sure that God hears and answers the prayer of the Spirit. He hears and answers the prayer that is according to his will. He knows the mind of the Spirit. He knows the Spirit's intention. He knows the Spirit's purpose. He knows the Spirit's work as the Spirit is fulfilling and carrying out that work in the life of every child of God, even through and by use of all of the circumstances of earthly life. God hears the prayer of the Spirit. And that doesn't mean that God is uninterested in our prayers. He is, very much so. Because as we said earlier, those are a work of the Spirit too. But this is our comfort and this is our confidence that when our prayers, because of our sinfulness, are characterized by infirmities, God answers the prayers of the Spirit. He knows that what the Spirit prays for us is by far the best for His children, perfect for them, and He gives attention to that, He answers that, and He provides us what the Spirit asks. In the end, that's a good thing. A good thing that God hears the prayers of the Spirit and that God does not respond to all our requests and give us exactly what we want and ask for. An earthly parent will soon discover if that is how he responds or she responds to requests from children, then those children will soon become spoiled little brats. If God did that, God gave you and me everything that we wanted and everything we asked for, that's what we would become. Besides that, that would not harmonize with the will of God for our salvation in Christ. I think you and I realize, beloved, if God did that, if God would respond to and give us exactly what we asked for every single time, exactly what we wanted every single prayer we brought to Him, then we wouldn't really dare to pray. We wouldn't really dare to pray. Many of the things that we ask for are detrimental and would be detrimental to our souls. God listens carefully to our prayers. He does. He hears them and He answers them. The prayers that are in accordance with His will. But God listens very carefully to the Spirit who is in us and who prays for us. And He gives us the things that He has willed for us, for our salvation, and for His glory as our God. Thanks be to God for the Spirit and for the blessing of the Spirit poured out and given to us and for the blessed work of the Spirit for our prayers. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the Spirit, for Thy word to us this morning concerning Him. Lord, Thou continue to give us this blessing, and through the Spirit's work, the Spirit's intercession, continue, O Lord, to work out our salvation, to work out in us and in our lives that which is according to Thy eternal will and purpose for our salvation in Christ Jesus, Thy Son. In His name we pray. Amen. Our final Psalter number is Psalter 391. Notice the third stanza. Thou art my God, to Thee I pray. Teach me Thy will to heed. And in the right and perfect way, may Thy good Spirit lead. We'll sing all four stanzas, 391. Jehovah bless thee and keep thee. Jehovah make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.